Part Media. This is the Family Center for Recovery show. Join us now to learn ways to begin the path to recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. Learn more at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
Well, and a good Sunday afternoon to everybody out there. Thanks for joining us and making a part of your Sunday afternoon. Tuned in to the Family Center for Recovery show. Your host today, Peter Nathan. And with me in the studio today is my good friend, Marlene Holmes. Marlene is the Director of Prevention over at DAF, which stands for Drug Abuse Foundation. Marlene, welcome. Thanks for coming
in. Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Marlene, could you tell our listeners and give us a little idea as far as your background and how you got involved with DAF and kind of clue us in a little bit here.
Sure, definitely. Well, again, thanks for having me. On behalf of DAF and myself, we are so glad to be a part of this and have this opportunity to spread a little awareness to the community. A little bit about me. I am a social worker. I have my master's in social work, and I've been in the field of mental health and substance abuse for quite some time. Key positions that I've held between the South Florida and Central Florida area would be directors of missions over mental health and substance abuse facilities. So I've always been on the front lines when it comes to dealing with crisis care, whether someone's coming in with active withdrawals, or we're dealing with Baker Acts, law enforcement. Here in this area, I'm definitely a part of many task force meetings, so always aware of what's going on. What initially drew me to DAF was my, obviously, passion as a social worker is to help people. That is my passion, which a lot of us in the field are here for. But the question is, how do we make a change? How do we have an impact, and how do we feel fulfilled? And I've also taught on the college level as well. So looking for something that I can combine the social work aspect of helping and working with people and bringing awareness and preventative measures, and then having the education piece. And at DAF, I'm able to do that.
You know, I think that's such a very important part of, and it, we're in a crisis mode right now as far as this opioid crisis. You can't help but tune into nightly news or listen to the radio, and I think that everybody has been affected in one way or another.
Yeah.
And, you know, prevention is really one of the key aspects. So could you maybe go over a little bit more as far as your role in prevention and some of the things that we do over at DAF?
Definitely. Prevention is huge when it comes to what we do and how we feel that we can make a change in the community. So with my role in my department, we facilitate classes on site to our clients to help them build skills to navigate through the recovery process and ensure that after completing our program, that they're still able to have those skills and have a supportive and successful recovery. We're also very active in the community as well. So myself and my team, we go out and we give presentations on, substance abuse awareness, preventative measures, the opiate crisis. Most recently, me and my colleagues, my supervisor, Kathy, Nick, we have all gone out and given a presentation on the opiate crisis. So bringing awareness to that, with ChildNet, we presented to them. Also, I've gone to local middle schools and talked to seventh graders to give them just education on what drugs are, what to be aware of, what, you know, their peers may be exposed to, and what to say no and how to say no, and it's okay to say no. So different things to taking that approach as well. But that's a big component of what we're doing, going out to the jail, being part of health fairs, just always finding a way to communicate to someone or just making our presence known.
That's so important as far as youth. And one of our previous shows that our listeners, we had teens in and their awareness and programs and initiatives that they're involved, which is so important. And I from what I understand, I guess DAF is also involved in our drug courts and in that area. Could you maybe, for our listeners, kind of go a little bit more over those programs and how those work?
Definitely. When it comes to drug court, we're definitely going in as far as, advocating and showing that and assessing what we do is we want to make sure that the clients could benefit from our program when it comes to that. Many of our clients are court ordered. So when they're coming into treatment, we want to make sure that they're participating in all services. So when someone's coming to us, and our residential program is actually 90 days. So coming in and making sure that whatever the court has mandated, whether their substance abuse need is at that time, that we're able to address it. So whether they're coming in and needing detox first and then coming to rehab or to our residential service, or just coming in straight for residential, they maybe have already gone through the detox process. So we're just working with them hand in hand to make sure that we are the best fit. Right now we are one within three counties, I believe, of being able to accommodate males in the need for residential. So that's, we know that right now we're absorbing a lot of that and we're doing our best to help.
Judge Shepherd, I sat in on her court and had a chance to watch DAF in war, in progress. And it's a excellent program in that it gives people hope. It gives them awareness and a chance at a better life. And I think that probably the other, I know in Broward, it's Judge Tobin Singer as well, also drug court. So when we're looking for answers, we're looking for things that are positive in nature that we can have available. DF is very active in that area. Could you maybe, your thoughts as far as some other initiatives, programs, things that you find being out in the community that are working, that are answers, that are successful for our listeners?
Well, a big thing for me right now, I'm part of the prevention task force meeting, and there we're really trying to, we are working together on what we can do to determine what every organization in the area, what are we doing? Because at the end of the day, we have to be on the same page. We should all be speaking the same terms, using the same modules to really have a stronger effect of what it is that we're doing. So what I'm seeing is everyone is on the same page, as identifying that we have a problem and we need to fix it. I think so much in the past when it comes to when you're looking at the history of just substance overall from early 3400 BC, where it was just used maybe for recreational and the euphoric effects, and then down the line for civil war and used for surgical procedures. We're always finding something, and maybe when there's an issue, putting a Band-Aid on it. But now we're at a point now where we can't put a Band-Aid on it. We have to fix it. So I think just an understanding where the issue is bigger than just Palm Beach. This is a national issue, and we are all here to be a leader to hopefully make a change for the better. So different things we're doing as far as who should we target. So are we targeting the youth? Are we targeting 18 to 25? Are we targeting just organizations in the area? So what we're having to do is adapt to the need and work with each other's strengths to figure out who can execute the best in whatever area that may be. So for DAF, that could be going to, a fair and having people be aware that they can come to us for HIV testing, or just letting them know that, yes, you can come to DAF for an assessment and we will help determine what level of care, if you're needing detox, if you're ready for residential, if you're needing outpatient, we can help with that. Or if we're going to, again, speaking to different organizations that their clients, they're seeing an increased substance abuse in their clients, and maybe that's not the norm. Maybe we can come out and educate the staff and say, hey, these are signs and symptoms. This is what you may see, and we can help them that way.
Excellent. If you've just tuned in, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery Show, your host, Peter Nathan, and with me today as my guest in the studio is my good friend, Marlene Holmes, and she's from over at DAF, Drug Abuse Foundation, Director of Prevention. And I met Marlene originally at one of the task force meetings, I believe it was the, could have been general council meeting, could have been heroin task force meeting that meets over at Children's Services Council. A lot of well-intentioned people out there. And that's what we're finding is that I'm out there born a community. Is there a lot of people that really want to get involved and help and things along those lines? One thing that drew me to DAF was their history, and they've got a long history of being involved in the community. Could you maybe go over for our listeners a little bit about DAF and their history and things along those lines?
The history, honestly, when I was coming on board to DAF, it's what drew me. DAF was founded in 1968 by three individuals, a physician, a pharmacist, and an officer. Because they saw the crisis of the substance abuse in their community, they came together with their own finances and brought DAF to life just because of the crisis. You don't hear that often. You hear people create something, or they might donate money to it, but they're not hands-on. They usually pass it off to someone else. But this is something they created, they believed in. You know, our mission, you know, we're here to convert public and private resources to support, you know, the recovery process and to encourage and promote a drug-free living. So it's something that we all believe in, we're all aware of. We've been around for 50 years, you know, so we going into our 50th year, actually, we'll be celebrating the end of this year, 50th year anniversary. So having that foundation and that understanding is something that has been conveyed through all this time. And still, with me coming on board, you know, fairly new, it's huge. And having that focus, the fire really to share it is undeniable. Again, to have that foundation as a social worker and to know, wow, this foundation is based on wanting to help, wanting to save, wanting to prevent, wanting to educate. That's how we're here. So the history, you know, DAF has definitely grown and expanded all its services. Most upon a time being only prevention, but now having a detox program, now having the intervention services, now having the life skills. We've grown so much, and what a great asset for DAF is wherever the need is, we will find a way to address it and to assist and to improve it.
And I've had the opportunity to meet Dalton Taylor, DAF Chief Executive Officer, and it was at the chamber. So it was a meeting as far as our public officials and things are being held. And I'm impressed by his interest and his insight and his foresight in programs. And we'll talk a little bit later in the program about a new initiative, okay, a new program that DAF has that they're going to be talking about. We're going to be going to a short commercial break shortly. What we're talking about is prevention. We're talking about DAF and their answers and things that we have out in the community that we can do or that they can do and to make a difference and to help those. And Marlene, we're going to be going to a short commercial break here, and some thoughts that you might have as far as DAF and things that you find and that you're very passionate about.
Definitely.
And the thing that I'd like to bring up is that the founding of DAF, mm-hmm, and as far as people and where they came from and how they got involved with DAF, and we'll talk a little bit about the opioid and how the crisis and where we're at, right, and what are some of your thoughts as far as on the crisis and where we're at as far as how things where we're at locally.
With the crisis, I think it's something again that you cannot deny, that we have to address. It's ultimately, it's heartbreaking that we have so much going on in our community, and we see it by how many people come into our facility. We at least 11,000 individuals are coming through our intake department of being assessed, being seen, and determined. So that's substance abuse alone. But what we are trying to do is, what can we do to help the community and bring the community hope? That's where we are when it comes to the crisis.
And we're going to break for a commercial message, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about the opioid crisis locally and DAF and how they're responding. Thank you for joining us. We'll be right back.
You're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Find out more about the Family Center for Recovery on facebook.com/Family Center for Recovery. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers don't. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, fcfrmd.com. That's fcfrmd.com.
And we're back. And thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon at the Family Center for Recovery show. Peter Nathan, your host and guest today, Marlene Holmes from over at DAF, Drug Abuse Foundation. And they see on a regular basis, all too often, as far as this epidemic, this crisis, right there on their front doorsteps. And Marlene, could you go over a little bit, maybe more for our listeners, as far as what staff sees, what people over at DAF see on a fairly regular basis, unfortunately.
Definitely, I think what a lot may see in the movies, you may hear about, but at DAF we experience it firsthand. We have an intake department where anyone can come in to be assessed, and so often we have individuals that are coming in under the influence, and we, part of our opiate crisis presentation, we share that with the community, and a part of that is we have individuals that are coming in and we're having to save their lives on our doorsteps. You know, we're really wanting to bring that to the community to see that individuals know that we're here. And sometimes just getting to us, they know if you can just get here, if we can just get to DAF, somebody can help me. Someone can do something. And there's a part of our presentation that we give. We show an individual that is just struggling to make it in the door. But as soon as he gets in the door, he collapses. And staff are able to immediately come to his assistance, obviously issue Narcan and revive and CPR until emergency rescue arrives. But that's what we see. And because we see it firsthand, we understand that we have to make a change, and we have to let people know. We have to understand that this isn't just a movie. This isn't just something we hear. This isn't just something that happens one neighborhood over, one street over. This is something that happens whether you see it or you don't, and it can happen to anyone at any time.
And the thing that I find is that the staff, empathetic, caring, well-trained, as far as
definitely
both medically as well as from standpoint clinically. And the other day when we met, you shared with me as far as your educational background, I believe you have a
master's in social work, yes.
Excellent. Your
definitely
master's in social work is from?
UCF, University of Central Florida. Go Knights.
Excellent. Excellent. And I think you just shared with me during commercial break, too, that you're going to be embarking on your...
My PhD. Yes, at Barry University coming this fall. And a big reason for that is being in the field. I go out and obviously give a lot of presentations and just like to have this opportunity to bring awareness. But it's education is ongoing. And as a social worker, we learn that day one, you never stop learning. But for me, it's how can I get the message across? And sometimes you need those credentials for people to listen a little more. But for me, what can I do and how can I present it? How can I change it? How can I just get that experience to bring this mission and this message to more people? You know, hopes and working with DAF, we can link with continue, especially with Mr. Taylor, having all the experience he has and the knowledge he has to work with key figures in communities to bring. So that's what I'm hoping that does. It's really not for me. It's really for the community and the population that I work with to see what we can do together to stop this craziness that's happening.
Programs that are available at DAF, I know that there's an assessment process and then also programs, life skills, evidence-based therapies, things along those lines. Could you maybe go over those for our listeners a little bit more about that?
Yes, that's probably the most exciting for me, I guess, because that's my department, prevention, what we do. Every program we give it, we present to any client at DAF is evidence-based. So in the prevention department, we have a program that's called Life Skills. So basically, every client that is enrolled into our residential program will participate in educational courses that we feel will help them develop the skill, basically, to not only continue their recovery process, but maybe develop some skills to support and to guide the recovery process that they haven't had. We have a lot of individuals that haven't had to worry about their credit score, understanding how to even read a credit score, or how to grocery shop, how to do a resume, how to dress for a job. Relationships with their children, with their parents, with their friends, how to identify the importance of sober support, looking at the present, looking at after they get out of the program, successfully discharged, what is the next step? So our goal is to make the individual well-rounded and prepared and feel that I can do this. I think what we see firsthand is a lot of our clients, are nervous. Because they haven't had to think this way. With our residential program being 90 days, we see a change from day one. We see, they're maybe a little angry, a little irritated, especially if they're court ordered and not really wanting to be here. But as time goes, you see a change and you see that they believe in themselves. And that's all we're here to do.
That's the thing that when somebody's going through treatment, as far as anger management, assertiveness, how do we work with that, and what types of programs? And DAF has those things that are available. If you just join us, you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Your host, Peter Nathan, in the studio today. Marlene Holmes, Director of Prevention over at DAF. And we're talking about, as far as programs, things that are available over at DAF, and a lot of life skills and evidence-based therapies, things along those lines. From a standpoint of background and athletics, and I know that prevention is, and athletes that we have and locally as well as nationally.
Definitely.
And prevention. Could you maybe kind of go over a little bit as far as your awareness and your background and things that you've noticed in that area?
Definitely. For me, what I've always noticed is we can't forget our youth. The adults we deal with now are because of probably something that's happened in their youth, whether it was direct drug use or being exposed to it, whether it's something traumatic that happened to them. There's something going on. So what I've always tried to do, and DAF has also allowed us to do that, is, as I think I mentioned earlier, I spoke to seventh graders, so just go ahead, and some of those students were athletes. So what I like to do is be transparent as possible in the appropriate setting and let them know that the reason I am here today and I'm able to talk to them is because of athletics. That was my way out. I played collegiate volleyball with Bethune-Cookman in Daytona Beach, and I was able to have a support system, a family, and so many people don't have that. So, you have to be aware that just your interaction or someone's outlet can be a benefit for them, and I think that's often missed. But on the flip side of it, so much can happen in the athletic world when it comes to injuries, and painkillers and things like that. And parents and coaches, I don't know if the education is there. So just making people a little aware of, hey, if this happens, maybe, educate the family on the dangers of painkillers and things when you're having that. So I know it's something that was never discussed when I was in college, and, it's nothing fortunately I had to really be concerned about, because education was primary for me. But because of this day and time that we're in, every child is vulnerable to it.
That's the thing that student athletes, the NCAA student athletes, is that for most, the reality is that they're going to go pro in something other than volleyball or football or basketball. It's going to be, as far as the importance and support that you gain from your coaches, from other, as far as athletes, the interaction. That's really the big takeaway. Athletics is so important, and it's having a healthy balance. And that's the thing where I think a lot of times, sometimes people feel as if the only way out is really through athletics. Right. And it doesn't really need to be that way. I mean, right. There are choices, there are other options out there. And
definitely.
What have you maybe found as far as in that area, as far as sometimes the athlete that feels they don't have any other way out,
right,
that really the only way is that? What are some things that might be of help to somebody that might feel as if they're kind of trapped, or so to speak?
What I like to tell all youth and what I think is important for us as adult figures and mentors and role models is that we have to actually say you have options, you have choices. For so many youth, if they do not hear that, they won't know it because their environment doesn't show that. It's you have to be the next Michael Jordan or you have to be the next LeBron James. You have to. The whole world is on their back, so they don't see anything. But they have to know they have other options. The education is primary. You cannot do anything in life without an education. So I think that's something we have to convey. But it's up to us to that have made it through that to go back and share. So I've definitely gone and spoken with high schools in Boca and spread that message to them to say, listen, I loved volleyball and tennis. Like, there is nothing else that mattered to me. But at the end of the day, I knew that in order to participate in that and for my future, I had to stay in school. I had to focus on my education. And I think that's what we're missing is the long term. We're so focused on now, and all that ties into why people get caught up in the wrong thing. We're trying to fix what's happening now, but we're not thinking down the line of what's to come.
I think sometimes what happens is too is the allure of money and professionalism and that the money that goes with it. But unfortunately, for so many athletes, there's a price that they pay,
right?
Physically, but also emotionally, and bankruptcies. A lot of professional athletes are bankrupt now. So it's more long term in nature. I like your approach. I like the message that you're transcending as far as to our youth. There's so many other occupations out there. I know that I had an opportunity to talk with Ricky Aiken. Ricky has his own inner city innovators, and it promotes as far as choice and change. And he graduated from EMT over at Palm Beach mm-hmm. State College. The medical field, there's so many opportunities out there, either from dental hygienists, nurses, physician's assistant, and there's so many needed different type of occupations. So I think more and more people are starting to realize that the toll that it takes on physically as far as from athletics might not really be worth it, and that there's maybe other occupations and areas that we'd want to focus in on. So
definitely,
as far as prevention and programming, and we've got something very exciting that we're going to be talking about. Maybe we'll go ahead and preview it. It's the Project Sharp.
Yes.
And could you maybe kind of fill our listeners in a little bit about Project Sharp and DAF, and then we're going to go to a break. But go ahead, and please.
Definitely. Well, Project Sharp, just so everyone knows the acronym, it stands for Supportive Housing and Relapse Prevention. And basically what we are trying to do, we are trying to develop partnerships within the community to support our clients once they are discharged from our program. But the key thing is, where are we discharging them to? We want to make sure that we are on the same page, we are aligned with the same mission, the same care for our clients, so that we can ensure that they are going to be successful. We our biggest thing is, when a client leaves our facility, we want to know that they're going to be okay. And developing this program will ensure that. So we're excited to launch it.
So that's where you're really starting to talk more about aftercare, alumni, and things along those lines. And we're going to be going to a short commercial break here momentarily. And if you've just joined us, this is the Family Center for Recovery show. Your host, Peter Nathan, in the studio with us, say, Marlene Holmes. She's the Director of Prevention. We're going to be going over a new program that is going to be initiated, Project SHARP, which stands for Supportive Housing and Relapse Prevention. And we'll be back in a short commercial break. And thanks again for joining us, and we'll look forward to being back with us soon.
The Family Center for Recovery is the only facility in Florida owned and operated by an addiction psychiatrist, Dr. Robert Moran, and he's dedicated his life to helping the people no one else will. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
At the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana, they treat little problems before they become big problems. Unfortunately, 98% of treatment centers won't treat teens because they think it's too difficult or not profitable enough. Whether your teen is struggling with behavior issues, substance abuse, or mental illness, they believe every kid deserves a chance. Contact Family Center for Recovery or go to FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Family Center for Recovery, before little problems become big problems.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
This is the Family Center for Recovery show. The Family Center for Recovery treats patients that other centers don't, including teens, expectant mothers, patients with mental health issues, or needing a medical detox. Call 855-202-4220.
And we are back. Thank you for making us a part of your Sunday afternoon, wherever that may be. If you're at a picnic, out on a boat, doing some yard work, or out just for a drive. And as I understand it, tech savvy as I am, there's now an app out there, 1290. If you want to take us with you on your iPhone, you can go to 1290 and download it, and you literally can listen to us anywhere
awesome.
You want to go. So that. We are back, and you're listening to the Family Center for Recovery show. Peter Nathan, your guest, with me, Marlene Holmes, director of prevention over at DAF. And what we're going to be talking about as far as you shared with me as far as how you became a social worker. Could you kind of maybe go over for our listeners how you?
Sure. I think it's important to always be aware who you're working with. And I've been fortunate enough to have key role models and mentors in my life. And as an athlete, you know, you're so focused on your sports that you kind of, like I mentioned earlier, you kind of forget about what's next. Like once you graduate, what's next? And so the way I was introduced to social work was my advisor, Dr. Kelsey. She said, I think you would be a good social worker. Okay, what does that mean? So she said, you know, you care about people, you're personable, and it's just something about you. And with social workers, typically, it's just something about you. You can't really put your finger on it, but I said, sure. So I picked up a minor and took some classes, and she recommended me to UCF for the program. And again, she helped guide me through the process. She helped really lay out the guidelines for me because I wasn't familiar with it. And what's so amazing about that is similar to what DAF is doing with the SHARP program. Once you complete our program, you're gonna have discharge planner and individuals working with you to get you to the next step. Because if you've never gone through it, if you've never had this dream or even thought that you were going to be on the path to recovery, you won't know what to do next. So similar to me and going to for my master's, it's really the same process. So what DAF, again, is doing is we are linking with and developing partnerships with other residential facilities in the community that that match and align with our mission, that are doing everything ethically and legally, and are okay with having us as a partner to support our clients. So once they get to their program, you know, they're going to have an individual that's going to work with them, a case manager, everything linking to whether it's helping them with their job, with making sure they're compliant with their medications, just organizing their life and helping create a structure that we started and that will be continued. So often we see so many of our clients come back, whether it's for relapse, whether they just didn't feel supported. So that's our goal, is to make sure that it's successful from point A to point B.
And that's so admirable, and the empathetic, that's a thing that I think that I've learned as far as and that having met Marlene is that she's so passionate about her profession and wanting to make a difference and helping other people in their lives, opening doors, creating a better future for them. And that's kind of the message that I'm seeing over at DAF. And one thing I found that was really interesting, and it's printed on the brochures, is, and I'm going to have to put my glasses on for this one. And what do we have here? Oh, it says, recovery is life.
Yes.
And self-honesty is the only true pathway to recovery.
Yes.
That really hit home. And could you maybe kind of go over for our listeners a little bit more about that phrase and that philosophy and mission?
Well, at DAF, we all know it very well. It's posted all over our facility, and it's something that we remind our clients daily. You have to be honest. As we are launching the Life Skills Program, and we go over whether it's, you know, when you're going for a job interview, or you're reevaluating your anger management and your triggers, all of that goes back to being honest with yourself. And if you can't tap into that, you're going to really have a hard time. You know, a lot of clients have had to have sneaky behavior of any sort, whether it's criminal, whether it's just hiding things within the home, hiding their drugs or anything like that. So honesty is so key, because once you break through that door, you now understand it. Now we're getting somewhere, but we have to get through that door first. And with us having that expectation of our clients, DAF expects that of their employees. And with going to the SHARP program, we are expecting that of our future colleagues as well.
That was the thing that really hits home, as far as when you start to look at excuses, addictions, mm-hmm. and lies and the self-talk and and it's like somewhere along the lines, you need to kind of wake up and say, or have somebody even just mention it, that, wait a second, so I know that the DAF, those are things that, philosophies that are very impactful and changing the lives of many people, and will go over into the future. So more about the SHARP program.
Yeah.
What are we seeing, and how are, it's an excellent program from what I'm hearing.
Yeah, what we're looking at is, again, the environment of working with the clients, with making sure they understand what DAF is expecting and what we want to have with them. So once they are assessed and their needs are determined, that will kind of help us with linking them out to other partnerships and different residential facilities. Obviously, we are going to need to make sure, as far as the staff is adequately trained and the education is there. You know, we want to make sure any medications or anything that our clients are on, that they're able to maintain that and monitor that, so that we can, again, make sure that, you know, there's no one is abusing, no one's being prescribed anything they don't need. So we want to make sure that we're on the same page with that, definitely.
Excellent. And as we segue, and we start to wrap up our show. If you've just joined us, you're listening to Family Center for Recovery Show. Your host, Peter Nathan, in the studio with me today, Marlene Holmes from DAF, Drug Abuse Foundation, Director of Prevention. And your thoughts on some of the things that we're seeing that are positive in nature, that as far as if somebody really wants to get involved, and
definitely,
what are some areas and things that you have as far as that our listeners might want to get involved with?
Well, you can always contact me and reach out to me at DAF. I'm always looking for another way to present material and to share the information and spread awareness. That is something that I will do. So I come out, again, I give presentations, I talk. It's whatever you need and whatever your the need is for that moment, the community, the agency, and we will come out and we will speak. That is my role, and that's what I do. We see that people are in need of hope. That's what we see, we feel it, and we just know. So if any way that I can restore hope, that the future will get better, that DAF does believe in everything we're doing, and we will work with anyone who has that same mission, that's what we're here to do.
I know that there's a lot of organizations out there. I know there's the Children's Services Council, there's the Palm Beach County Substance Awareness Coalition, which you're actively involved with, mm-hmm. as far as working with people and the different programs, fairs that are out there. Those are really any way of getting a message out and tabling. Visiting with the local high schools, the middle schools, as far as the data counselors, things along those
definitely
lines. Could you maybe kind of go over for some of our listeners, because It sounds like a really exciting being able to get out into community.
Love it.
maybe kind of share with some of our listeners as far as some maybe the day or some events that you've been to that you found were very impactful. What have you seen when you've been out there?
Well, we've had an opportunity to table an event actually at the Belgrade Jail, where we're, it's an often forgotten population, but still there's some education that can happen there. So we've actually had tabling events at the Belglades location, again with St. Vincent Middle School. I've actually communicated with her name forgets me, I'm sorry, at Palm Beach State as well to try to get out there and develop some relationships. And I know as the Prevention Task Force meeting, we've been talking about just getting in with the colleges and working on that. So I'm actively pursuing that as well. We're hoping to have some future meetings with law enforcement to make some changes in relationship and educational natures for that. I've done so much, I'm just drawing a blank, so I'm trying to figure everything out for you. But anytime, anywhere, is where I'm going, but definitely with the middle schools. Yeah.
The out in Belgrade and with the inmates at jails and things like that, I would think that that would probably be something very moving from a standpoint of somebody realizing that there are different types of things, opportunities, whether it be as far as project, probably literacy, as far as learning to read, and also, okay, so when I do, and what are some options for me? What could I possibly do? And that's, I think, the thing that we have at our in our communities are people that, that show and have an interest and want to help in that particular area. And
I'm going to add something to that. We actually have educators that are based out at the Belglades location. So not only do we participate in events, but we also teach classes. Life skills, just similar to what we do for our residential clients. We have that as well, because not everyone, you know, they're going to be there forever. They're going to come back and acclimate back into the community. So what can we do to help them, you know, to restore that hope as well with the skills? So we are here to help anyone because everyone deserves a second chance. It's a big part of recovery.
And that's so important. Could you please, I mean, for our listeners, as far as a second chance?
Yeah. A second chance is key. You never, I always, when I work with my staff and I train my staff or I go out and speak to different events, I always say you have to see yourself in the other person's shoes. One thing that my grandfather always told me, you're only one bad decision away from a life-changing choice. So you never know what brought that person to wherever their current situation is. That could be you. It could be grief, it could be a loss of a job, it could be the loss of a loved one. You never know what can bring you to that point. So you can never judge someone. You can only acknowledge their situation and support them and ensure them that you're equipped with the tools to help them get through this.
Your grandfather, a very wise man.
He's awesome.
Those words, as far as advice, are so true.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about that on the way over to the studio this morning. People sometimes just get put in situations and they're, how did this ever happen? How do I wind up? But realizing that there is hope and that there are programs out there, as far as being able to have people that care, that's the thing that I'm seeing more than anything is that there are a lot of people. And that's the thing that impressed me as far as when I was over at the Drug Abuse Foundation and meeting with staff. There's so many professionals that are caring. There's an alumni program.
Yes.
Could you maybe kind of go over a list a little bit about alumni and and things along those lines?
Our alumni program is awesome. Any client that completes, whether it's our outpatient program, our residential program, or both our residential and outpatient program, can become a part of our alumni services. So right now, we are huge with, we actually have a graduation ceremony with caps and gowns, the whole nine, for clients that complete the residential or residential and outpatient. We have a ceremony for that as well. So having them participate in the graduation, planning the graduation, contacting the clients, you know, arranging all of that. And we're actually in the process of launching and creating alumni bands and choirs and all that, which we also have an expressive arts program, which we've also launched at DAF. So coming from the musical, or this musical therapy drama approach to our clients. So we're providing services to tap in on everything and everyone to benefit from beginning to end while they're at DAF and also after. after they leave our program, but hopefully having them to guide the next batch of graduates into the alumni group.
That is excellent. And recovery, it's a lifetime.
Yes.
And to know that there's programs there for support. We're going to be going to a short commercial break here, and you just join us. This is Family Center for Recovery Show. Peter Nathan, your guest, with Marlene Holmes from over at Drug Abuse Foundation. And we're going to be talking about, in our last segment, as far as alumni, we're going to be talking about, as far as some very exciting things that are out in the community. So thank you for joining us. We'll be right back. Thank you.
Like the Family Center for Recovery on Facebook to learn more about their mental health service and Addiction Resources Center. Located in Lantana, Florida, the Family Center for Recovery treats patients that most centers can't. Call anytime, 855-202-4220. We'll be right back. The Family Center for Recovery in Lantana is the only treatment center in Florida owned and operated by a triple board certified psychiatrist. This means the Family Center for Recovery does treatment the right way. They treat substance abuse, depression, bipolar disorder, OCD, anxiety, teens and adults at all levels of inpatient care. Check out the innovative, life-changing treatment the Family Center for Recovery in Lantana has to offer at FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
As a doctor, I see patients every day who are losing their vision and independence to age-related macular degeneration, also known as AMD. It's the leading cause of blindness in adults 55 and older. Some of us are at greater risk for AMD. If you have blurry vision or blind spots, they can be symptoms of AMD. If left untreated, it can lead to blindness. The good news? With early detection, AMD can be managed with effective clinically approved treatments that can reduce or even reverse some vision loss. Learning that you have AMD can be scary, but there's hope and help. The Foundation Fighting Blindness is researching and developing treatments and cures for AMD. To get your free AMD information packet, contact the Foundation Fighting Blindness today at 1-800-BLINDNESS. That's 1-800-BLINDNESS. Join the fight against AMD, because together there is a cure in sight.
Welcome back to the Family Center for Recovery radio show. If you wish to share this broadcast with a friend, you'll find the link at the Family Center for Recovery's website, FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com.
And we are back. And thank you for joining us on your Sunday afternoon. Family Center for Recovery Show, Peter Nathan, your host, with Marlene Holmes from Drug Abuse Foundation. Aftercare, alumni programs, mm-hmm. mentoring,
yes.
All an extremely important part of recovery. Marlene, your thoughts?
Mentoring is huge. I think it's important for everyone, and again, I believe in this wholeheartedly, is that you have to be aware of every interaction that you have with someone, whether it's verbal or just your body language. It's key. Some people just need to see a smile to know that they can get through that day. Some people just need to feel, how are you doing? You know, all day I'm walking around campus and, you know, I may not know someone's name, but I say, hi, how are you doing? And, you know, introduce myself. And some people just need that. So no matter if you're working with inmates, if you're working with youth, if you're on a college campus, be aware of your presentation and how you can change someone's life. And that's what I'm so grateful for at DAF, is that not only do I feel that way, but we all feel that way.
That's the thing that I find very refreshing is that to mentor, to take an active role in somebody that is younger or may even be older,
right,
as far as our retiree or elderly population. Mm-hmm. And yes, life throws us many, many challenges along the way, but there's always a chance to give somebody a helping hand,
right,
and be there for them and a time of need. And that's the thing that I find refreshing.
Yeah.
And your thoughts as far as, I know we were talking at break about your grandfather. So as far as, maybe could you go over for our listeners his importance and some of the things, his insights that have helped you in life?
One thing that I've learned from him and a lot of people in my family. I think this generation, we are forgetting the wisdom that is before us, and we don't ask questions. We don't listen, you know, but there's so much out there. And from him, I just learned to really be in the moment and to be aware, whether it's animals that are outside that I know nothing about and how they can positively impact our community, or he even has a community garden that he has in Kentucky. And he's because he was raised on a farm. So how can I give back, you know? So teaching me about plants and how to garden, and I'm not the greatest by any means, but teaching me and letting me know how important that is, and teaching that to my younger cousins and bringing it to the community. So it's just huge on what you're doing. And one thing he's taught me is it's never too late to learn. You know, he's retired, and he taught my whole family how to play tennis. So that mindset is there. But he wanted something better for us. He wanted us to change, you know, for the better and be something more than what he was and what he is. And so it's just something that's there. But seeing his mentor role, and not just to my family, but active in the community with volunteer services, with you know, just second chance. Like, he picked up golf because it's not too late to learn. And that's what we try to convey to our population that we work with. It's never too late to learn. You can always change. I've worked with youth and helped them apply for college applications. And, oh, I can't get into this school, I can't do that. You don't know. You got to try. You know, you got to try. Take the test again. Take it again. So it's always just trying to show someone another outlet, another opportunity, another option. And that's life in general, whether in your recovery or you're not. That's just life. You can never give up. You have to keep trying. And one thing I will say that I've always been told from my grandfather is, you think you have it bad, someone always has it worse. So you have to be aware and thankful for what you have, because there's somebody else that would give to have your struggle.
Once I heard, if we all took our problems, put them in a little bag, yes, threw them into a circle, and you could go and pick any bag out of the circle that you wanted, guess which bag you're going to pick. So those words of wisdom from your grandfather hold so true. And there's so many things that we can learn from that. And the thing that I think is takeaway is that it's not ever too late to change.
No,
and you know, like you're saying, if somebody's an inmate or somebody's in a situation as far as their home life or environment,
right,
revolves around choices. And finding somebody positive in nature, somebody that you can reach out to, that's right, really what it boils down to. And there are a lot of people out there that do care. And that's the thing that I find most refreshing. And I've always kind of felt about social workers as far as their role in society and what they do for us. So it's very admirable as far as what and your path that you're on. I wish you, continued success with Barry and your PhD and things along those lines. Closing thought?
My biggest thing is just to make sure that we don't forget that we all can make a difference and we all have a role to do. And so often I think we forget those that we don't see every day. So just remember to reach out and to help. And again, if there's anything that DAF can do, anything that I can do on behalf of DAF, I'm always available for developing, helping, and educating, especially when we can prevent anyone else coming into the crisis.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. This is awesome.
Yes, really enjoyed having you, Marlene, and enjoy the rest of your Sunday, everybody. Thanks for tuning in. Bye.
This has been the Family Center for Recovery Radio Show. To learn more about the center or to send a link of the show, visit FCFRMD.com. That's FCFRMD.com. Join us next Sunday at noon for the Family Center for Recovery Show.